It's a great time, a great day to gather together as a church family on the first day of a new year, 2017. And for some, the new year brings freshness and excitement, eagerness, out with the old, in with the new, possibilities, progress, onward. That's probably half of you. Some of us like the new year because it's a time to wipe the slate clean and start over fresh. For others, though, a new year simply brings with it the prospect of new challenges, new struggles, new troubles. Some of us approach the new year with a certain amount of fear, wondering what might happen in the year to come. Some of us face the new year with uncertainty. Uncertainty about relationships. Uncertainty about perhaps your career, your job, your employment. Uncertainty about your family. Uncertainty about your own health or the health of a loved one. The year ahead doesn't maybe look so rosy, and it's hard to not dread whatever it is that may come. For others, the year that is now past was so difficult that you're still trying to just recover, much less plan ahead for a new year. Well, whether you greet the new year with enthusiasm and optimism or with fatigue and fear of what might come, we all could use a little bit of biblical perspective at the start of a new year. And so I'd like for you all to turn along with me to the book of Lamentations. Might seem at first an odd book to go to for the first day of the year, a happy book like Lamentations. If you're not sure where that is, you can open your Bible roughly to the center, which will probably be Isaiah or Jeremiah, and Lamentations is just to your right after Jeremiah. We read from the book of Jeremiah earlier today. Lamentations chapter 3. Let me read the text for you. It's from verses 20 through 26 this morning. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 20 through 26. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to mind. Therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask that you would encourage us from these verses this morning and remind us of your faithfulness, the greatness of your faithfulness. We're so thankful that we serve a God who is always, always faithful, a God that can be depended upon and trusted. Father, we pray that today you would grant us a grander vision of your character, a greater faith in your person, a greater love for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, that these things might carry us into the new year with a fresh perspective and a newfound hope. Hope not in earthly circumstance or governmental policy or new administration or even relationships that we have here on earth, but rather a hope that is grounded on the sure foundation of your word, your truth, your revelation of yourself. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. As you may know, the prophet Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations. And he wrote it during some exceedingly difficult times. Jerusalem had come under siege by the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, and it was eventually completely destroyed, with a large portion of the population being carried off, taken away as slaves to Babylon. Before Jerusalem's destruction and during the siege, conditions within the walls of Jerusalem were dire. People were starving. And starving people do desperate things, dark things. The destruction of Jerusalem came as a result of God's judgment for Israel's persistent disobedience. And it came only after years of warnings. Years of warnings, even by the prophet Jeremiah himself, calling Israel to repent, to turn away from its idolatry and unfaithfulness to the Lord. Israel did not heed those words and was destroyed. The book of Lamentations, then, is like words of grief spoken at a funeral. These words of grief are spoken over the holy city of Jerusalem, which now lies desolate. It is a book of lament, thus Lamentations. A book of sorrow and tears. Listen to how the book begins. Look with me at chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This is just a taste. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. She has become like a widow who was once great among the nations. She who was a princess among the provinces has become a forced laborer, a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. She has none to comfort her among all her lovers. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They've become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile under affliction and under harsh servitude. She dwells among the nations, but she has found no rest. All her pursuers have overtaken her in the midst of distress. The roads of Zion are in mourning because no one comes to the appointed feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests are groaning. Her virgins are afflicted. And she herself is bitter. It's a description of total destruction, total dismay, grief, lament. By the time we get to chapter 3, chapter 1, chapter 2, and the first part of chapter 3 is all sadness. It's all grief. It's all lament. By the time we get to chapter 3, Jeremiah is in pretty bad shape. Look with me at Lamentations chapter 3, verse 15. He, the Lord, has filled me with bitterness. He's made me drunk with wormwood. He's broken my teeth with gravel. He's made me cower in the dust. My soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. So I say, my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and the bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. Jeremiah has forgotten happiness. You ever been there? You ever known someone who was there? Difficult to consider the way forward. Difficult to think about tomorrow. You ever been to a place where you felt completely overwhelmed by your circumstance? Where you saw really no reason to have hope any longer? Maybe some of you, maybe a few of you, are there right now. And as you look ahead to a new year, you don't see much reason for hope. You don't see a prospect of happiness. But I want you to look with me at verse 21, where Jeremiah finds the prescription for what ails him. Verse 21, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope." Now he's just stated that he's hopeless. But he reminds himself of something important. He reminds himself of something that causes the embers of hope to catch flame within his heart. He finds the remedy for his hopelessness. He needs to recall something. He needs to remember something. He needs to believe and reaffirm something. But what? Verse 22. "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope." Verse 22. "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail." What renews Jeremiah's hope is recalling the truth that the Lord's loving kindnesses never cease and his compassions never fail. Now, let me remind you, Jeremiah's situation has not changed one bit. His circumstance is the same. The walls of Jerusalem are still broken down. The gates are destroyed. The people have been carried off, those who aren't dead, have been carried off into slavery by a pagan enemy. But Jeremiah has hope. Hope not in his circumstances, not even that his circumstances will turn around, but hope in the Lord. Hope specifically in the Lord's loving kindnesses and in his compassions. The word loving kindness is that important Hebrew term, hesed. And it refers to God's covenant love, his loyal love, his unending love. His love that is promised to us and that never changes, that never ceases, and can never be taken away. It can never be diminished. And so Jeremiah, in the midst of his suffering, remembers that God's loving kindness never ceases. God's love for us is unending, uninterruptible, undying, and unstoppable. God's loving kindness for us never ceases. Furthermore, Jeremiah remembers God's compassion, that is his mercy. God's love for us results, his unending covenant, loyal love of us results and expresses itself toward us in compassion and mercy. We get not what we deserve, but God instead exercises compassion and mercy toward us. He extends to us grace, unmerited favor, undeserved favor. And he forgives us. He cleanses us. He cares for us. He sustains us. He protects us. He restores us. God's covenant, loyal love, and his tender compassion, furthermore, Jeremiah says in verse 23, are new every morning. There is no stale love from God. Rather, it is fresh every morning. Each new day, we meet new love from the Lord. Like a daily, fresh delivery of sweet, delicious, life-giving food. God's loyal love and His tender compassion are new every morning. Like daily manna in a barren wilderness, God's loyal love and tender mercies are delivered right to your door daily. Whether you realize it or not. There was a moment when Jeremiah was failing to realize that. Failing to take account of it, failing to call it to mind. And he knew he needed to remind himself of who God is, of His faithfulness. And drink deeply from God's love and tender mercies. And then Jeremiah exclaims in verse 23, "Great is your faithfulness." The Lord is faithful. He is completely dependable. He is worthy of our trust and our dependence. Even when the walls are torn down, the gates are destroyed, the people are carried off, God is still faithful. Many of us struggle with that. It's in just those moments of difficulty and hardship and trial and pain and anguish that we start to question God's faithfulness. Has He forgotten us? Does He care? Is the Bible true? Does He even exist? These are not the thoughts that are inspired by the Lord. These are not the thoughts that are inspired by the Word. The world, the flesh, the devil want us to question God, want us to question His faithfulness, want to question His goodness. But we must be like Jeremiah. "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope." Psalm 100 in verse 5 says, "The Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations." This is what we need to recall to mind, that we might have hope. It takes effort on our part to do this. It doesn't just happen. When life seems to be coming apart at the seams and everything seems upside down and inside out and our hearts are breaking, we need to recall truth to ourselves. We need to preach the truth to ourselves again and again, that the Lord's love never ceases and that His mercies never fail. Now let me be clear. The Bible is not advocating in this that we live in denial, that we somehow keep a stiff upper lip when things are going difficultly. That we try to ignore or minimize life's challenges and pain. Far from it. In fact, the book of Lamentations itself refutes this simplistic, unrealistic approach. Jeremiah has spent, after all, the first two and a half chapters recounting the reality of the pain and the anguish he and the others in Jerusalem were experiencing. He even catalogs it, expressing it in extensive detail. No, the Bible doesn't tell us to grin and bear it or to stuff it deep down inside. But rather, the Bible calls us to be realistic about our sufferings. And to temper the reality of suffering with the reality of God's faithfulness, His mercy, and His love. God's mercy and love that are actively working even in our greatest tragedies and heartaches. Even in those moments, God's mercy and love never cease. They never fail. This is what we must call to mind, or we will lose all hope. Paul could say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. God remains faithful. His love and His mercy are new every morning. You have this promise that every morning of the year to come, God's mercy and love for you will be new and freshly delivered on your doorstep to meet the needs that you have for each day. That is a promise of God that you can take into the new year with you. A promise that is intended to buoy your hopes, to give you fresh encouragement. How does God's love and mercy show itself to us? In hundreds of ways, most of which we take completely for granted. How has God's love and mercy shown itself to you? Well, did you wake from sleep last night? Some of you didn't go to bed, I think. I don't know. Is your heart still beating? Are your lungs still taking in oxygen? Have you had a meal recently? All of these things are good gifts from God that He gives to all. This is all an expression of His love and His mercy. But for the believer, His love and mercy go so much broader, so much deeper. In setting His love upon us in eternity past, before you and I ever existed, God loved us and set His love upon us. A love that will never be taken away, a love that can never be destroyed, a love that can never even diminish. God cannot possibly love you more, and He will never love you less. God showed His love and mercy in revealing Himself to you. You weren't born with the knowledge of God. You weren't born with the knowledge of His Son, Jesus. God mercifully drew you to Himself and progressively showed you and led you to Himself. God showed mercy and love and giving us the Scriptures and preserving the Scriptures and multiplying the Scriptures. God shows His mercy and love in giving us many great and precious promises in the Scriptures, promises which are ours, promises which include His providing for our eternal forgiveness, and in making an eternal home for us in heaven. None of us knows what 2017 will bring. We certainly couldn't have predicted the events of 2016, right? What a year. But this we recall to mind. This we recall to mind. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, every day, every week, every month, and every year. They are yours. Great is His faithfulness. And nowhere is God's great faithfulness, mercy, and love for us seen more clearly than at the cross. Nowhere is God's loyal love proven more certainly than at Calvary. At the cross, justice and mercy have kissed each other. God, at the cross, has maintained both His justice by punishing sin and rebellion, but in the same singular act, has also extended mercy to all by offering His sinless Son, Jesus, as a substitute for us. And so, in one and the same act, God upholds His justice and extends mercy. This morning, some of you have yet to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe it's because you haven't heard before. Maybe it's because you've heard and you thought, I've got time, I'll do that later. Maybe it's because you've said, you know, it's just not that important to me. Whatever the reason, God's mercy and love are being extended to you yet again today, right now. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to live a life you can't possibly live, a life of perfect righteousness, living up perfectly to God's holy and righteous standard seen in His law. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness so that He could go to the cross and serve as a substitute for sinners like you and me. That's just what Jesus did. On the cross, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin, became the representative of sinners. And Jesus bore the full wrath of God, the just wrath of God against sin and rebellion on the cross for you and for me. Jesus died, He was buried, but on the third day He rose again, showing that God was satisfied with the sacrifice of His Son, and now offers peace with God, forgiveness of sins, through faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross. That offer is extended with love and mercy to you today by God Himself. He invites you to come. He invites you to believe. He invites you to accept and receive His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. To turn from your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive complete forgiveness and the promise of an eternal home one day in heaven. The loving kindnesses of the Lord never cease. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. They are new this morning. They can be yours if you'll receive them. Believer, Christian, you have every reason to look on this new year with hope. Hope that rests not in your circumstances, but in the Lord, who sovereignly controls every event and causes all things to work for your good and promises to sustain you and promises to always be with you and never leave or forsake you. Throughout every day of this year, He will be delivering new mercies and loving kindness to you. Freshly, every morning, unceasingly, because great is His faithfulness. May the Lord give us hope, a hope grounded in Him, to face a new year together. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for Your goodness, Your kindness, Your mercy, and Your love. We thank You, Lord, for the pinnacle of Your love shown for us in the sending of Your Son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your great love for us. You endured the cross. You endured heartache and grief and pain so that you might do your Father's will and purchase a people for his own name and his own glory. You did that out of love for your Father, and you did it out of love for us, so that you may present us as a love gift to your Father. Lord, we remember you as we share in your table now. Our hearts are filled with thanksgiving, with appreciation and gratitude, and with renewed hope, knowing that we are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, knowing that we step into a new year not alone, but with Christ at our side and in our hearts. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We thank you, Lord Jesus, even as we remember you together today. In Jesus' name, amen.